You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones with Matt Bracken.
You know, I was born in 1957, and a lot of my brothers, older brothers, their friends, they were drafted. There was still a draft. I was extremely aware and conscious. I was actually at a couple draft parties where, you know, 19, 20-year-old college guys are watching to see what number their birthday comes up. And if it's a low number, they're going to be, you know, off to Vietnam. And if they had a high number, they'd breathe a sigh of relief and go on with their life. Notably, our present president that I voted for 3 times, he had 4 college deferments, and then he got a medical bone spur deferment. So it's interesting that, you know, he may be sending troops into harm's way when he did everything he could to avoid service in that time. Now, back in Vietnam, and I'm going to bring this back up to today with, you know, the officers that we sometimes active duty or early or, you know, recently retired, we see on TV all the time. This guy, Colonel David Hackworth, I think he died, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. A fantastic book. I should got to reread this. I've read it 2 or 3 times. But this guy, Colonel David Hackworth, he used to be on TV once in a while. He'd always wear like a black turtleneck. Very cool guy. He was a battlefield commission in Korea. That's where, you know, some private jumps on a tank and takes over the battle and you know, the lieutenant's useless or dead, or the sergeants are combat ineffective, and some private just like takes charge. He was a battlefield commission. That's how he became a lieutenant on the battlefield in Korea. He actually tried to get into World War II. He was too young, so he was in the Merchant Marine, which would take him, you know, like even younger. But I think he was the youngest colonel in the United States Army. And he was considered such a gung-ho shooting star, way out in front guy, that he was in charge of developing a lot of the tactics and procedures. He was given command of some experimental units, allowed a lot of leeway in how he would fight. He was in the Army, but he was in the down in the Delta, which is kind of a little bit different. But when he finally determined that, you know, the war was not going to be won, it couldn't be won the way that it was being won, while he was on active duty, he threw his career away. He went on television. He went on one of the Sunday shows and said, I can't do this anymore. I can't be a prop for this, all these lies. You know, this meat grinder that's not going to work, can't work, been here, done everything. You know, we dropped more than 3 times more bombs on Vietnam, little South Vietnam, than we dropped in World War II on Germany. And, you know, we had over 4,000 combat aircraft at the height of the war right in Vietnam. They didn't have to invade Vietnam. They were right in Vietnam. 550,000 troops right in South Vietnam. We lost that war. So Iran is you know, 10 times bigger than South Vietnam, with 6 times its population. I'm wondering, is there anybody in the Pentagon willing to say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be, you know, one of those guys that said, I'm just following orders. Is there anybody in the Pentagon, anybody in command that will take off the stars, go on TV and say, I'm sorry, pension or no pension, my conscience won't allow it. I'm not going to be on team genocide. I'm just not going to do it. We've been hearing about these generals being fired by Pete Hegseth, and presumably because they think that that, you know, what's coming is a disaster, an unfolding disaster. But are any of them willing to forego their pension and just say, I can't live with that? I'm not going to do it. Anybody? I don't think The way you get paid, the way you get paid is, and these are like six-figure salaries. These are like 300,000 to a million to be on call for Fox News to put you on, like General Jack Keane, to put you on to say everything's great, Iran's about to fall. If you tell these lies, you get a half million, 800,000 a year. Is it worth the price of your soul, or are you just really that stupid? I mean, we don't have 550,000 troops to send to Iran. And Iran is 10 times bigger than South Vietnam. And we can't just roll it in ships and unload like we did at Da Nang in 1965 and set up bases all over the country. We'll have to fight our way in. And if we had a drafted a 2 or 3 million man army and we conquer Iran, then we'll have to occupy it forever against an insurgency that's in a country that's six Colorados. And after we've bombed their bridges and blown up their power stations, do you think they're going to love us? My small academic background was Russian studies in college, but I've followed these things super closely all my life. In the Second World War, if the Germans had come in as liberators and said, we're here to get rid of the communists, there was a chance that they could have flipped the whole thing, the polarity being switched, like a diode. But they didn't. They came in treating them like Untermenschen. And the people who didn't love Stalin, especially in, the approaches to Moscow, Belarus, Ukraine, which was part of the Soviet Union then, they definitely didn't love the communists. But when you come in and you just start blowing people up and, machine gunning villages and laughing like, ha-ha, it's sport, like Israelis in Gaza, they actually turned the country back to Stalin out of a survival instinct. And Stalin, now this is kind of real politic that is very comparable to Iran now. So the 1930s, the communists in Russia, the Soviet Union, they're getting rid of Christianity. They're not burning down the churches, but they like turned them into museums of communism, things like that. They didn't burn them. Then they need the people on their side again that during in after 1941, Operation Barbarossa, that now they need the people. They said, let's allow some religion again. Let's allow people to wear a cross or have a chaplain. Not we're still communists, but we need these people. So this is what we can see in Iran right now. Iran has become a very secular society outside of the hardcore, Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps being forced to adhere to Islamic law for all these years has turned the average Iranian against forced religion. And so, like Stalin, it's like an obverse, like Stalin saying, maybe we'll go a little bit easy on the forced forced what do you call it? The abolishing of religion. We'll allow people to have their religion. Right now, the Iranians are going to say, we need the people on our side. So we're going to go a little bit easy on forcing the religion down their throat. And we're going to emphasize nationalism. Same thing that Stalin did. We're going to downplay international communism and emphasize Russian national patriotism, including orthodoxy. And so right now, we're bombing the crap out of Iran, and the Iranian people are rallying to Iran as a national cause, not to support the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, but they're facing a genocide. And today, with what Trump said, this is like Hitler coming into Russia and saying, we're just going to kill all the Untermenschen. I mean, you can't be more clear than that. We're going to destroy this civilization so it can't return again for 100 years, Trump said. In the tweet and also in some of his spoken commentary, 100 years. They can't rebuild it for 100 years. We're going to turn them back to the Stone Age. These are people that had cities, with running water, centuries before Rome did, centuries before. These are very smart people. The Iran, the word Iran is related to Aryan. Yeah, Aryan, as opposed to Persian, which was a word put on them by the Greeks, like us calling the Deutsch people Germans. You know, the Persians is a word that was put on them from outside. They consider themselves the Aryans. They're very, very smart people. And even if we could somehow raise an army, draft an army of millions, and conquer Iran, we would just be setting ourselves up for decades and decades of a counterinsurgency that would be much tougher than the Vietnam War, orders of magnitude tougher. I mean, if put up, can you put up, there's a map of Korea I had. It says, "Question, do you wish?" I think it's number five, the Korea map. Is people are one of the main talking points of this situation is that, Matt, if the Iranians get the bomb, they're going to use it. They're crazy. They're suicidal maniacs. You know, we can't let them get the bomb. They were saying the same thing about Kim Jong-un and his father 30 years ago, 20 years ago. Believe me, the neocons had the same exact talking point. Matt, the North Koreans, they're crazy. If they get nukes, they'll use them because they're crazy. Okay? Who here wishes that we had gone to war in 2005, full war, you know, Incheon Landing, cross the DMZ, you know, mobilization like Desert Storm to invade North Korea, to go into those mountains and into those tunnel complexes to take away their rocket program and take away their nuclear program? And how many casualties would have been worth if we lost 10,000 or 20,000 Americans? Would that have been worth it? Let's say 30,000 Americans. Would that have been worth it? Maybe 8 years or 5 years, less than Vietnam. And at the end, if you've gone into the last North Korean tunnel complex and destroyed the last centrifuge and the last rocket factory, then what do you have to do? You have to occupy North Korea forever. Okay? Now, here's the news flash. Iran is 14 times bigger than North Korea. It's 10 times bigger than South Vietnam. Iran makes North Korea, if you remember all the movies of the Korean War, Bitter Cold, Chosun Reservoir, fighting in icy mountains. Iran makes North Korea look like Central Park. It has 18,000 foot mountains. These tunnel complexes are bored sideways into the sides of granite mountains so that they're thousands of feet underneath of granite. Our bunker buster bombs, they don't even hear them in those complexes. Somebody has to tell them, a 2,000 pounder hit. You know, really? Didn't feel it because it was 3,000 feet of granite up above us. And we're going to send a couple C-130s and a few hundred Spec Ops troops in to these mountain complexes that are in dozens of mountains. These are the Iranians. These are not Saudis. These are not Afghans. These guys tunnel like they're Swiss or Germans. When you think of Iranians, you know, one of the targets we're hitting today are their universities. And do you know why we're hitting their universities? Well, Matt, that's where their scientists learn how to do all this stuff. If we're going to destroy them and wipe out their civilization, we're going to have to wipe out their universities. This is the war we're fighting now, folks. This is extremely immoral. And not only is it immoral, as if, you know, we're up on Mount Olympus and the dirt people down there can never touch us. They can touch us. This is not World War II or even Vietnam, where we have an Atlantic and a Pacific that are going to protect us. If we continue this war of destruction, of civilizational destruction, do you think they're going to surrender? They didn't surrender for 8 years against the Iraqis when we were supplying the Iraqis with poison gas to drop poison gas on Iran. They didn't surrender. They are not going to surrender. And if they have destroyed everything within their reach, and they've used up all of their rockets, and there's nothing left to fire at Israel or at the American allies, you know, in UAE, Qatar, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, there's nothing left for them to hit. We're still not going to be able to invade them because we don't have a tenth of the force required to hold any ground there. No matter what, if we put the lights out in that country, they will still hold the Strait of Hormuz. And if all of that infrastructure in the Persian Gulf is destroyed, we're in a Great Depression, folks. But even short of that, who is to say now that we have put these tactics on the table as legitimate military targets, part of our strategy, that we can destroy a country's electrical grid because we don't like their policy? We want to, as Trump even said, they have to say uncle. They have to bend the knee. We call it in our propaganda media negotiations, but it's negotiations like the mafia where you're tied to a chair with a gun at your head. That's what the mafia calls a negotiation. Surrender everything you've got, become my slave or I blow your head off. That's a negotiation. To the rest of the world, that's a mafia threat and extortion. And don't think for a minute that the tens of thousands of people, actually millions that came in over the open border during the Biden years and were here before, don't think for a minute there aren't tens of thousands of operatives that came in. They're disciplined. The Iranians are not, you know, of course, you'll always get lone wolves that are on their own frequency. But the actual Chinese and Iranian agents that have come into our country and have no doubt about it, they're operating still under military discipline in the sense that, yes, we're establishing safe houses, we're establishing agent rat lines, you know, we're doing target recon, but we're not acting until we're told because we're part of an overall military effort. But if the power goes out in Tehran, nobody can ever say now that taking out America's electrical grid is an act of terrorism. So if you can put up, I think it's number two, it says, if we destroy Iran's electrical power grid, that's like the picture is from, I think, the 1977 Great Power Outage in New York City. But you can see there's just car headlights that are lighting up New York City there. If we take out Iran's power grid and throw that country into the Stone Age so that people in hospitals all die, and all the food in the supermarket spoils, and the bridges are destroyed, and people are isolated, and the waterworks are destroyed, because a lot of the water pipes go on these pipes or these bridges. Make no mistake, a bridge is not just a thing that a train or a car drives over. A bridge also has electrical power, water, gas lines. That's on the bottom of the bridge. So when we destroy the bridge, we're destroying, in many cases, the water and the power and the gas. Do you think now that if somebody in this country already with pre-planned targets, like the California Metcalf attack, that has already been reconned, and these guys are in cells, under military discipline, undercover, but they've got their pre-planned reconned targets, and if they're told our counterstrike against America is the power grid, and they go out and they do 20 or 30 Metcalf attacks in one night where these giant transformers that are, these 15 and 20 foot tall high power transformers are destroyed. Do you think we're going to call it terrorism? How can we call it terrorism? We started this war. Anybody that says, well, Matt, it's sort of been a war for 47 years. Look, we started this war. We did sneak attacks. Perfidy, kind of an old English-sounding word, perfidy, like a perfidious person, is to lure somebody in with a fake offer of talks or a truce and then assassinate them. hold up the white flag to get them in range, then your sniper shoots them. That's perfidy. We did that last June. We did that February 28th. We let it happen in Qatar last year. This was Hezbollah negotiators in Qatar. We allowed that building where they were meeting, the Hezbollah negotiators, we allowed Israeli bombers to hit it. And we have the greatest radar in the Middle East. We knew it was coming and we let it happen. Perfidy. Nobody will trust America now. Who is going to meet Americans to have negotiations? We've proven how we negotiate. Pete Hegseth said, with that's one of those pictures, Pete Hegseth said, we negotiate with bombs. We negotiate with bombs. We're off the rails, folks. This is like Germany and Japan in 1939 or 41. It might be selling on Fox News and even on CNN. They're kind of like, hey, wasn't that a great rescue? And they're not even talking about why would all these C-130s be flying in? Not for a rescue. So they're even what you would think are kind of middle of the road networks. They're really sticking very close to the propaganda line, sort of seeing which way the winds of war blow before they come out for it or against it. But I'm telling you, when you start a war of aggression, yeah, reasons. We had reasons. The Iranians, they're crazy. If they get a nuke, they'll use them. They haven't. Their former supreme leader had a fatwa against building nuclear weapons. To Americans who are used to perfidy as a tactic, well, Matt, those Iranians, they always lie. That's projection. That's projection. We would always lie because we always do. So therefore, they would always lie. But in their society, if the supreme religious leader says, we don't build nuclear weapons, they don't build nuclear weapons. Well, we killed that guy. The guy, and then we killed the next level below him and the next level below him. The guys under them are like, I am sure right now they're spinning up the centrifuges in some mountain complex as we speak. As we speak. And all they've got to do is drag this out. They don't need a victory. They don't need to have a, they all they need to do is keep firing a couple missiles at Israel and around the Gulf every night for the next couple months. And the world economy goes into a Great Depression. And the entire world looks at Trump and the United States and says, you did this. You thought it would be an easy victory. You thought you could assassinate a few leaders and the Iranian people would rise up because Bibi Netanyahu told you that. But what Netanyahu wants is a destroyed Iran. And Iran's not going by the script. So if somebody parks a truck bomb on the Golden Gate Bridge or one of the Hudson River bridges and blows it up, we're just going to say, well, whatever. That's war. When you start a war of aggression with sneak attacks, we used to always say this about the Japanese. Hey, you started the war at Pearl Harbor, so we finished it at Hiroshima. That was like a set phrase all my life growing up. You started it at Pearl Harbor, so don't bitch if it ends up at Hiroshima. Well, we started this one on February 28th with sneak attacks, assassination sneak attacks. That's not the country I grew up in. Anyway, I'm always glad to sit in this chair and talk to the InfoWars audience. We don't know what's going to happen with InfoWars in the future. I've got besides David Hackworth's book, and I wish there were a few David Hackworths around. I have my own books people can find and read, and that'll help keep me going. But who knows what's going to happen in the next days or weeks? Will Trump decide to spare the world, or will Trump trigger Armageddon? I think seriously, he has a messiah complex. I think that the Susie Wileses and the Pete Hegseths around him have convinced him that he's like some man of destiny, number 47. And 47 years in Iran, I think that he's got a total messiah complex, and it's not going to end well.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.